So if you were not here last week, you're probably wondering what's going on with all the doors. And you might be thinking you just walked into a game show. Because, you know, behind door number one, and door number two, and door number three. But that's not why the doors are there. Even though that sounds like a lot of fun, we may have to do that one of these days. Last week we started a new series, kind of trying to look at our outreach, look at our evangelism, look at the way we share Jesus with the world. And so we're using this idea of doors as an illustration. Just that we, as we physically open doors for people, that we also open spiritual doors. And so last week we began talking about this idea of how do we open doors? What are the doors that we open? And we started by setting the biblical mandate. We looked at several passages of Scripture to understand that we are called to open doors. And we started as a launching point in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, where Paul tells us that we are ambassadors for Christ, that we literally are his mouthpiece in the world. And so we are called to open doors, to go and speak on behalf of God to the world, that they might come to know him. And we looked at Jesus' words in Matthew 28, where he says, "Go and make disciples." And this isn't just a suggestion or a nice idea. It's a mandate from Jesus that we are to go. And there's this idea of activity. And so we talked about how we need to open doors, that we need to share our faith. And then after we kind of set the biblical mandate, we just spent a few minutes last week talking about some of the doors that we open here at Hope Born in Christ Church. We talked about Upwards and Monday at Sports Ministry and our coffee and donuts and our missions outreach. And so we just began to set this idea of what does it mean to open doors, to share our faith and the love of Jesus with the world. And we kind of landed on a simple point last week, and it's the first note in your bulletin. So if you were here last week, you may already have it filled in. But last week we ended on the fact that we need to open doors, that it's our job and it's our mission by Jesus, that this isn't just a suggestion or a nice idea. It's a mandate. It's a directive of Jesus that we are called to go out into the world and share our faith. Again, not pushing it on people or forcing people, because that's not really faith, but just sharing the love that we have from Jesus and the love that Jesus has with the world. And so as I thought more about this concept this week, I thought about probably one of the biggest challenges that comes with this idea of opening doors, sharing our faith, and seeing people come to the gospel, is that sometimes we put our own expectations in our own way. That sometimes our expectations of this process hinder us from moving forward. Because I don't know about you, but oftentimes when I take the effort to open a door, when I take the effort to share my faith, to speak Jesus' love into the world, I expect to see something. I would love when I go and say, "Hey, I want to tell you about the love of Jesus and that Jesus died on the cross for you and for me." I expect and I hope that that person will respond by saying, "That's amazing, I want to believe as well." But oftentimes it doesn't happen that way. Oftentimes I extend the love of Christ in some small or large way, and I feel like the door gets slammed back in my face. Because a person might say, "Well, that's nice, I'll think about that," or, "I've heard that before, I'm not interested," or, and walk away. And all of a sudden, because I didn't get what I expected out of the ordeal, I don't want to do it anymore. Or as I hesitate the next time. Our expectations can become a hindrance. But if we think about our own experiences, and I know some of us accepted Christ and met Jesus when we were really young, but some of us accepted Christ when we were older. And if we think about our own experiences, did you, the first time someone shared Christ with you, go, "Aha, I'm going to be a Christian"? Or did it take several people opening several different doors for you to meet Jesus and fully understand the love of God? We all have that one defining moment when we met Jesus, when we understood the significance of his life and his death and his resurrection. But it took a process to get us there. And I think we need to go into our door opening remembering that everyone else is the same, that it's a process and it takes time. You can imagine it like this. I have a picture here for the screen of this hallway. Did you notice that one door leads to the next door, to the next door, to the next door? And we need to kind of go into our sharing of Jesus' love, Jesus' grace and forgiveness, with this idea of this hallway of doors. That you and I are called to open a door, but we don't necessarily know if that's the final door or the first door. And even though our efforts may seem unproductive, it's leading to the next thing. And eventually, we hope and we pray that the door is finally open to Jesus. The important thing in this process is that we each are doing our part. Because here's the thing, is if your door isn't opened, they can't get to the next door, can they? All right, how many of you have stood at a door that's locked and just stared at it? All right, this week, we got new exterior locks put on the church. Our locks were starting to wear out, so we got all new locks installed. And it was great, except no one had keys. And so we were trying to get keys passed out as much as we could. You know, they got replaced Wednesday morning, and we had dwelling place Wednesday night, and John and the team were coming for practice, and I called John. I said, hey, John, you're probably going to need... That's the thing, is if your door isn't opened, they can't get to the next door, can they? All right, how many of you have stood at a door that's locked and just stared at it? All right, this week, we got new exterior locks put on the church. Our locks were starting to wear out, so we got all new locks installed. And it was great, except no one had keys. And so we were trying to get keys passed out as much as we could. You know, they got replaced Wednesday morning, and we had dwelling place Wednesday night, and John and the team were coming for practice, and I called John. I said, hey, John, you're probably going to need a key. And if John didn't have a key to get into the building, then he would have stood at that door waiting. And that's how it is. If you don't do your part, if you don't open the doors that God is calling you to open, if I don't open the doors that God is calling me to open, people will be standing there and not continuing down the hallway to meet Jesus. And so the point that I want to kind of land on and explore this morning, kind of the second thing in your bulletin, we're talking about we usually get hung up on results. But what we need to do is when we open a door, when we step out in faith and share the love of Jesus, when we open that door, we need to trust God to do the rest. We need to understand that it's not up to you and it's not up to me to make people believe in Jesus. Our job is simply to go and share the love of Jesus. And we need to trust God to do the rest. This morning we're going to spend some time in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing this letter to a struggling church. If you go through the book and you read it from the beginning to end, you find this church in Corinth is struggling with a lot of serious, serious issues. And in the verses we're going to be looking at, Paul's talking specifically about church leadership. This church is really struggling to understand what does it mean to lead a church, to grow a church, to start and build a church. And Paul's trying to explain to them it's not about who's in charge. When it comes to the church, this isn't like politics where you want to get to the top of the leadership pile. Church is not about who's in charge. It's about serving, and it's about humility. And the church of Corinth, they were struggling over factions. And we'll read about it, but they were saying, hey, some of us, I follow Apollos, and he was one of the pastors of the church. And then other people at Corinth were saying, well, I follow Paul. He was here as a pastor for some time. And so I'm kind of in the Paul group, and I'm kind of in the Apollos group. And they started fighting with each other about who was leading the church. And different leaders were growing the church in different ways at different times. And so they're saying, hey, I'm loyal to this pastor. I'm loyal to that pastor. But the reality that Paul begins to talk about, and we'll look at it here in a minute, is that they all have the same goal and the same desire. That everybody in Corinth who was leading the church wanted to see Jesus glorified and for people to know him. And just to kind of help us to understand exactly what's going on, it would be like people here at HBIC saying, well, I'm a big fan of Pastor Kimber. Right? Pastor Kimber started this church, and so I'm kind of like, I'm his biggest cheerleader. And then the next person saying, well, I am a huge fan of Pastor Jan. Like, I really think he's a nice guy. And so I'm a fan of Pastor Jan. And then the next person kind of stands up and says, well, you know, they're great, but I'm a huge fan of Pastor Greg. Like, I'm sad that he left, but I'm still his cheerleader. And then someone else stands up and says, look, it may have been for just a little short period of time, but I personally, I'm a huge fan of Pastor Rick. And so all these people are standing there, and they're all kind of sharing these things. Look, I follow Pastor Kimber. Well, I follow Pastor Greg. Does that make any sense? Because all of us, Pastor Kimber, Pastor Rick, myself, thank you, Pastor Kimber's going, no. We all are here, all of the pastors who have influenced this church and have led this church and been here, we all have the same goal and the same heart to see Jesus glorified. And so this is the problem that Paul is addressing, that they're arguing over who is the supreme leader of the church almost. And Paul says it doesn't matter. And so Paul's response to the problem, he addresses how we all work together to build the church. But again, the context is church building and church growth, but as I was reading this passage, I think that the principles that Paul is sharing apply in the same way to how we share our faith, to how we open doors. So we're going to be reading a passage about church growth and leadership, but the principles apply to this idea of opening doors. So we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 5. And Paul says, "What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building." And so Paul starts off simply by saying, neither Apollos nor myself, Paul, are anything beyond our service to God. In the context of the argument here, he says, look, we simply did our part. I planted seeds, Apollos watered the seeds, but God made it grow. Paul says, it doesn't matter who the pastor is, who the leader is. Ultimately, it's about God growing his church. And so when we talk about our outreach, when we talk about opening doors, it's the same idea. We each have a specific job to do. We each have a specific door that God is calling us to open. One of us plants a seed. One of us waters the seed. You think about it, in farming. If the seed gets planted but nobody waters it, what happens? Nothing. It dies. If there's no seed planted but someone's watering it, they're crazy. They can't exist without the other. Someone needs to plant the seed. Someone needs to water the seed. But does the farmer make it grow? God is the one who makes it grow. We each have a job to do. Again, the idea of the hallway. Each door leads to the next. Our mission is to work together. Paul says we are God's co-workers in God's service. We each have to do our part. And so that means one of us is going to invite someone to church. One of us is going to welcome someone. Another one's going to share the gospel with that person. All working together towards the goal. But again, ultimately, God is making it grow. In farming, God makes the food and the plants grow. In our outreach, we are simply the workers. God is the one who changes hearts. Going back to our expectations, it's not my job to make people believe in Jesus. I'm simply called to share his love and the forgiveness that he offers. And so again, when I open a door, I have to trust God to do the work. When I open the door and I step out and I share the gospel, I walk away trusting that God's going to do something with that seed I just planted. It's very easy for us to focus on our works and wonder why we see nothing happening. I opened the door, but nothing took place. I didn't see anything. But we can't see people's hearts. Again, we plant the seed, we water the seed, and we just trust God to do the rest. This idea of the process and not necessarily seeing the fruit of our effort reminded me of when I was a youth pastor a couple years ago. And I served an effort at New Joy BIC for a youth pastor for several years, right when I finished college. And I ministered to those kids, and there was the one specific kid that he was always at church. He was always at youth group. He went on every retreat, and he and I spent so much time together. And we prayed together, and I shared the gospel with him, and I planted the seed, and I watered the seed, and it just never took root. It never grew. But I kept investing him. I kept opening the doors. And so shortly after I left that church, and we moved to South Carolina for Allison to work on her PhD. The new youth pastor was a friend of mine, so he and I were talking, and it was probably less than 2 months after we left. And I'm talking to Brad, and he says, "You'll never believe that this student just accepted Christ." And I went, "That's great!" I spent all of this time working with him and planting those seeds, and I never saw the fruit. And I was so excited for him, but I'm going, "What? Why not me?" I planted, I watered, and this new youth pastor comes and he sprinkles the seed a little bit, and it grows. And it can be frustrating. But the goal is not for me to pad my pocket with salvations. The goal is to see people meet Christ. It's not about my scorecard. I was lucky to actually hear that story. Because most times when a youth pastor leaves a church, they don't get to hear from the next youth pastor what's going on. So I'm blessed to know that his life was changed and that he finally met Christ. And I'm just glad that I was get to be a part of the process. So this is the idea that we're talking about, that it's a process, and we simply need to do our part and trust God to do the rest. Paul, again, points out that we are co-workers. We are working alongside of one another towards a common goal, and we need each other to accomplish the goal. And again, this is another example of this. Reminded me when I was in college, I worked at the factory where my dad worked, and I worked on the assembly line. Magical job. Reminded me why I was going to college. But we were making door closers. We don't have any, but the little mechanism at the top of the door, when you open it and it closes slowly behind you, we made those, and I got to be a part of that. And so the assembly line had 7 or 8 stations where they would add pieces and go down the line, and they all had to work together. And what happened was when one station slowed down, the whole thing came to a screeching halt because it wasn't a process anymore. And so as a temp, and I was working on the side making the pieces to go into the piece, we would have to run over when someone put a yellow light on, "Hey, I'm slowing down." We'd have to run over and try to help them to keep the process moving. And again, it wasn't about, "Hey, I have to get my piece into the product." It was, "I want to get the whole product made." We have to work together. And so you all have examples of this in your own life, how you work together towards a goal. And this is what Paul is talking about, that we support one another, we work together, and ultimately we celebrate together. And that's the goal here, is that we celebrate together. So let's just take for an example Upward. You know, we share the gospel at every practice. We share the gospel at every soccer game. And when someone in Upward comes to salvation, is it just that coach or that one individual who shared the gospel gets to celebrate? No, the whole church, we all celebrate because we all work together towards that, and God did something there. And so we celebrate together. When someone invites their neighbor to come to church, and that neighbor finally accepts that invitation and comes, we as a church celebrate over that. And then we as a church all have to get to work because now we have a job to do. We all work together. And this is what Paul is showing us, again, in the context of church leadership, but we can apply to our outreach, is we work together. And he's using this idea of planting seeds, this agricultural theme. But now he shifts from farming, from agricultural, to architecture. Again, reinforcing this idea. So we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 3, and we're going to pick up again at verse 9. Paul says, "For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. No one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames." So again, Paul's talking about church leadership and church growth, but our application is the same. The principles transfer. When we're building up the church, we have to start with a foundation of Jesus. Anything else will not stand up. And if you think about it, how can a church be a church by the truest sense of the word without Jesus? And we see this in our world today. We see places that call themselves church but ignore Jesus. And by the truest understanding of what the church is, it's they're not. If we don't start with Jesus, we have nothing to build on. We sang this morning about the church being Jesus' bride. And so without Jesus, his bride can't survive. We have to start with Jesus. And it's the same way in our outreach. It's the same way in the doors that we open. We have to start with Jesus. If you receive the weekly updates that I send out each Monday, and if you don't, please let us know and we'll get you on that list. But I mentioned this idea of having to start with Jesus. And I used the illustration, I said, upward without God. If we take God out of our upward program, if we don't have devotions, if we don't share the gospel, if we have upward with no God, we're left with just soccer. And soccer's not a bad thing, but it doesn't mean anything for the gospel. Same thing with Monday night, I mentioned too, that if we take God out of our Monday night ministry, it's just basketball. We have to start with God. And when we start with Jesus, when we start with God, then we open these doors and we see God working. But the foundation, the starting point of everything we do has to be God. Because Paul explains that if anyone tries to build up the church with their own power, and he uses wood, hay, and straw as an example, it ultimately will get burned up. If we build by the direction and the power of the Holy Spirit, using gold, silver, and costly stones, what we do will survive and grow. What are we using to build the church, or what are we using to reach the world? When we open doors, we start with God, and we follow the Holy Spirit and his guidance. Last week, we mentioned Luke chapter 12, where Jesus says the Holy Spirit will tell us what to do and what to say. And so when we open doors, when we reach the world, we have to follow the Holy Spirit's leading and build into people with what he gives us. If we ignore the Holy Spirit and we simply do what we think is best, we're not really doing things for God. And I'll be honest with you, as we watch people open the doors, we look into the world, it can be hard sometimes to tell the difference between people who are building with godly influence and people who are not. Some people are building things for themselves. And Paul says, look, it's not the issue really is on the day that Jesus returns, it will all be revealed. When we stand before Jesus at the end of time, our works will be displayed. And it will be clear to people, was our work for him or was it for ourselves? Some people try to build up fame and glory for themselves by opening doors. It's about numbers and success. Look how many people I saved. We've already established that's not the case. But then those of us who are truly following the Spirit of God and we're trying to open doors, we oftentimes measure it by success and numbers. It's very hard from an outside perspective to tell the difference. But it's in a person's heart. We can't judge other people's hearts. We don't know what's in other people's hearts. We can only look at our own. And so as you and I are called to open doors, to share the gospel, to share the love of Jesus with the world, we have to take a step back sometimes and double check ourselves and say, am I following God? Am I doing this because God is calling me to it? Or am I doing it because I want to get credit? And it's very easy, especially for me as a pastor, I can stand up here and I can tell you all the stories of how great I am, but that's for myself. And we each have those times in our lives where we have to check and say, am I doing what God has called me to do and following him wholeheartedly, or am I simply doing it for myself? Again, we can't judge other people's hearts because none of us can see their hearts. But we can look at our own and just ask God to challenge us to make sure we're doing what we're called to do for his glory. And so as Paul addresses the church in Corinth with these leadership ideas, as I've said before, we have takeaway points for our outreach. And so I just have three kind of overarching points this morning that kind of draws back to our overall, again, the idea that we, when we open a door, we have to trust God. But here are the three takeaways I kind of have from 1 Corinthians 3. The first one is we each have a part to play. And I've said this several times this morning, but Paul talks about planting a seed and watering the seed. He talks about setting a foundation and building up. If I don't do my part, or if you don't do your part, the process breaks down. The hallway of doors all of a sudden is closed. We each have a part in the process. And it's God who makes it grow. God is the one that makes things truly happen. And that takes us to the second takeaway, and it simply is God is in control. As I said this morning, when we open doors, we have to trust that God is in control. I can't change a person's heart. As much as I want to some days, I can't change their beliefs. I can't change the way they feel about things, but God can. I simply need to do what God has called me to do and trust God to do the rest. But as I follow God, as I let Him be in control, I also need to make sure I'm doing it for Him and not for myself. I need to do what God directs me to do and not just what I think is best. And that takes us to the third takeaway, at least as far as I see it, and that's simply that God knows our hearts and God knows our motives. God knows why I do what I do. God knows what motivates me, and He knows if it's Him or He knows if it's not Him. And so we as Christians are called to open these doors, to share our faith. And we need to trust God is in control. We need to make sure that we check our hearts. But we need to open doors. And I just want to pause for a moment this morning, too, because I realize that maybe some of us in this room are not Christians. Some of us in this room maybe don't necessarily believe in Jesus' death and resurrection for our sins. And I want to speak directly to you for just a quick moment, because the fact that you're here this morning, if that's you, tells me that you are looking for God. It tells me that you are seeking God, and you just want to figure out what this whole Christianity thing is all about. And so as we as Christians talk about our desire to open doors and share Jesus' love with you, I just want to remind you this morning, if you're here seeking God, that God is waiting for you. We talk about this idea of a metaphorical door that we are called to open. If you're here seeking God, I would challenge you to push open that door, to continue looking for God, seeking for God. Because the truth is, He is waiting for you with open arms. He wants to fill you with His love and His forgiveness and His mercy. And so as we talk about the doors that we need to open, I encourage you, if you're looking for God, to push in, because God wants to meet you. But for those of us this morning who are Christians, who have already accepted the love and forgiveness that Jesus offers, I ask the same question I asked last week and will continue to ask throughout the series, is what doors are you opening? Why are you opening those doors? And how are you opening those doors? We are all called to do something in the world for Jesus. We need to open doors. Which ones are you opening? Because the reality is, you don't know where in the metaphorical hallway your door is located. You don't know if you're the first door, the first time someone may hear about the love of Jesus, or you may be the last door. And when you finally open, when you share your story and your experience with Jesus, you may be that last door that finally compels them by the power of God within them to meet Jesus for the first time. We need to simply trust God to make it grow, to make it happen. And again, if you don't open your door, if I don't open mine, it's very hard for people to get down this spiritual hallway. So last week, I encouraged you to start simple. Last week, I literally asked you just to open a door for someone. Open a physical door. And it was fun this week. We actually went out to lunch after church last Sunday with a couple families from church, and some of our preteens were there, and they rushed and opened the door for me with this very knowing grin on their faces. And I heard a couple other stories this week of some of the adults just opening a door for people. And that was a really simple starting point. And so this week, I just want to up it a little bit more. All right, we're just kind of going slowly into this. I know some of us, this is new or challenging, and I want to just give us very practical steps to opening doors. And so this week, I want you to invite someone to church. Now, understand that inviting someone to church is not the end-all of our outreach. All right, many times we think, gee, if I just get people to come to church, then my part is done. That's not true, but it's a starting point. I want you to invite someone to church this week. And so in your bulletin, Lisa Dahl, hard work. Lisa put our little business invite cards. And if it's not in your bulletin, check around your feet, because it probably fell out. But on the little card, it has our church address, it has our service times, it has a church phone number. a little map. So it's a great little tool. Stick this in your pocket, and this week, invite someone to church. Simply open the door and say, hey, why don't you join me on Sunday? Right, and then the last thing in your bulletin, I have a little statement. My card is for. Write someone's name down. Again, this is just a simple stepping stone to opening a door. And if you're feeling overly ambitious this week, I have extra cards back by the door by the small group books. Grab two or three of them. Say, you know what, I'm gonna take this step, but I'm going to do it two or three times this week. Get my exercise in. I know everyone has their Fitbits now trying to get their steps in, so get your spiritual steps in. Again, such a simple little thing, not the end-all of our outreach, but something for us to start doing. Invite someone to church this week. Pray for them. Invite them and then pray for them all week that God would move them to come. And then trust that God is going to show up and do something as you step out of your comfort zone and invite someone. Again, we each have a part to play in reaching the world. Let's continue this week and every week to seek God and discern what doors he's asking us to open. Because again, last week we looked at all these opportunities we have here as a church, but maybe there's a door God's calling you to open that we haven't even thought of as a church, or that you've never thought of. Spend some time with God this week praying over who you should invite to church, but also asking God, what other doors can I open? What other ways can I reach the world for you? Because again, this is what we're called to do. This is what it means to be a Christian, to receive the love of Jesus, and then to share that love with the world. Let's pray. God, many of us can get intimidated by sharing our faith. And it's not that we're ashamed of you. It's just in our world today, there's so many influences and so many opinions about who you are. But God, our goal, our mission is not to force people to faith, but to simply share our faith. That people would see the true God that you are, the true love that you offer the world through our outreach and through the way we conduct our lives. And so, God, this week we pray that you would inspire us in new and fresh ways of how to open doors, to meet people where they're at, to see people the way that you see them, to see their needs and their hurts. And we would simply speak into them with love, whether we're their first door in their journey or the last, God. We place our trust in you. As we work for you, as we are your hands and feet, we trust that you are in control, and ultimately you will make it grow. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.